On the cover, we see fragments of a shattered mirror, fractured and scattered across white lab floors. In each of the shards, we see a splinter of a possible world, a world that could be. In each of the shards, a different version of our heroes, the Wardens of 13th Street. Only one of the fragments reflects them as they really are, or will be.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Salameka, and this is Little Quaddle. Don't worry, it's all part of the plan.
Poi, you can bet on me.
Fantasma, you don't have a ghost of a chance against me.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is 13th Street Wardens, issue number 3, A Thousand Futures.
We open in the underground base of Michaela Llama in the center of 13th Street, the street that the 13th Street Wardens have sworn to protect and have lived on every day of their life. The enormous vaulted ceiling that is just below the center square has just lifted upwards with like triangle pieces of metal holding together. And there is just crackling flickers of light that are bursting through the air. We get like just like pink sparks flashing upwards towards the sky. And there's some Kirby crackle. The whole thing is just like high level. This is clearly an enormous event. But we're on 13th Street, and no one is going to come save the day just because there's some bright lights flickering up into the sky. That could be anything. That's probably just some mutant kid that just come into his powers and doesn't have any idea how to use it yet. Michaela is standing by one of the computers. She is in a full white outfit with her half cape like pulled around her shoulders dramatically. She's added one of those like half helmet facial buttress things that has basically like a couple of lines of filament in front of her face that are preventing like the pink reality sparks from just completely wrecking her. And she is just typing frantically into the computer, trying to like control different levels. There's lights going off, everything. We're in endgame. The world is going to turn itself inside out. We've got 20 minutes, something like that. Like, we're on the edge of the line. Fantasma, you're there. This is something that takes an enormous amount of power and is relying on your ghostly energy. Remember that she's using the hole that Callista's soul made between the worlds in order to power this world flipping. What are you doing to help make sure this goes to plan?
So I think she is wearing the mask, the neck gaiter, skull neck gaiter mask, up through the bottom half of her face, right, with her hood pulled up now, to signify that there has been a character change. And also her eyes, I think, because she's got, when she channels that ghostly energy, she's got like the green kind of hex flame.
Yeah.
I think her eyes have that flaming glow as well, with the trails kind of wisping off of it.
Nice.
To really sell that to the audience. And so I think because this reactor needs her energy, she's probably pumping it into it. She's probably channeling ghostly energy into it, like Night on Bald Mountain, right?
With
the
God.
Summoning energies, her hands are raised in claw, like kind of claws up. And yes. There's just swirling, like shrieking greenish ghosts just wisping all around her
God.
And funneling into the core.
That's amazing. So it's just like it's we've got like the green spiritual energy like just being like flicked through by these sudden pink bursts of electricity. The sky above is starting to get like a bit of like a green haze in it, as though like each of like the strikes is slicing through and letting just like a little bit of the spirit realm through. Michaela turns to you and says, "Yes, Phantasma, you're doing it. I didn't know if we'd be able to do it, but you're pushing through. Are you okay? Is this too much?"
"I'll let you know when I've had enough, Ms. Llama. I've had a lot worse than this. I died, remember?"
"You are so strong and so brave, and I am so proud of you." And she's going to be shifting your labels.
She has no reason to reject that.
All right. That is going to lower your mundane and raise your superior.
Ooh, this is interesting. My mundane can't go any lower.
Oh, my. Minus two.
Okay, so you either need to mark a condition or reject her influence.
So I guess I'll mark the condition.
Oh my god.
For this whole situation. So I'm angry. I think so, yeah, as those words hit her. And I think maybe, I don't know if anyone else has this, but sometimes when someone is, you're doing something and someone compliments you on doing the thing, like, "Yeah, I know, I'm already doing the thing. You don't have to." I think she's got a little bit of a twinge, like the energy flares for a second. "There's going to be plenty of time for you to wax poetic when all this is done. Look, Michaela, I know you're trying to help. You got a big vision for the future. I just don't know how you got into this. I'm willing to help. How did we get here?"
"Everything led to this. Every realization that the corruption and greed of our leaders is what makes lives untenable for so many people. This was the only way. As soon as I learned of the possibility, I put every resource I had, every resource I could claw into my hands, into this moment. If you can just hold on, just 20 minutes more, we'll have a new world." And needless to say, that's when our heroes arrive.
Of course.
You gotta. And I'm gonna say, I think, unless you had like a sneaky plan, do you want to do like the X-Men, like coming down from the sky kind of panel? Or would you rather like come in through a door? I opened up the ceiling so you could jump in if you wanted to.
I think I'm down with just jumping in. Yeah. Yes.
And here's an important question. When we last left you, you had defeated Boomslang, and Rompecabeza was defeated previously by Boomslang. Are the two of them back at the docks, or have either or both of them come with you?
I'm torn.
Poi has opinions, but Poi's not going to state them.
Should we say that each of you decides one of them?
I think I should decide Boomslang, because he's my shame. I mean, if we wanted to do a little flashback, we could have me try to convince him to come with us.
I think like, as angry as he is, he would want to go. He wants to be a hero. He was trying to kill these two.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a second chance in the ring with them would be something he would definitely be interested in.
Also, he has a vested interest in saving Earth because he lives here.
Yeah, he lives here. And of all of you, he's probably the least likely to exist if the world goes dramatically differently.
Golly, interesting.
Just because technology might go different ways and things like that.
He might have just actually died when he died instead of getting saved in a horrible monster robot form.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's say the reason we got there quickly is because we rode Boomslang over. I think
cool.
That would make sense. He can fly. He's got Salameca curled up into a little Ouroboros ring, like held in his talons or something.
Perfect.
So much in this image.
And Poi, is Rompecabeza going to be joining us, or he's going to sit this one out?
I think we get like a panel of Poi like looking over his shoulder at Rompecabeza, and like another panel of him like looking forward at the panel and just saying nope and walking away. Just leaving Rompecabeza like knocked out, I believe, under the wreckage of the car.
I think so. Yeah. Perfect. So that panel, we've got the crackling pink in the background, we've got the swirling green, and the three of you riding down. with things going, you've got the element of surprise in like a everything's crashing at once kind of way. So, Poi, what do you do?
I think Poi like leaps off of Boomslang, and luckily there's like some down telephone wire that he's able to slide down into this secret base and lands, and just I think Poi's just gonna go straight for Phantasma, like gonna ignore Llama, ignore any of this like other dangerous stuff, just goes straight for his friend, goes for Phantasma, and tries to put hands on their shoulders and like shake them and like try and get some sense into them, try and get like a little one-on-one, like, what are you doing? No, this isn't you.
I'm gonna give like a quick moment for Phantasma to have. What happens when Poi grabs your shoulders? If anything would happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she is supercharged.
Okay.
If she hasn't explicitly been charging her powers this whole time, then I think this would be the time where she's like, okay, now I should.
Yeah.
But I think because she functions on her emotional like flux, I think we had a moment last episode, as an aside, that I actually had to go back and remind myself of, that was like, how can I take you down? And it was just deny me my connections to things, my emotions. Like, if there's nothing for me to tap into, then I can't do it. There's probably other ways to take her out as well. Yeah. but I think that she's so flooded with energy and emotion that she's just super hot to the touch. So like, you grab her shoulder and your hand gets like licked by that kind of green flame off of the edge of the hoodie. Yeah. And she whirls around on you with her eyes flaring, just full on burning green flame eyes, as you're shaking her like, hey, this isn't you. Mm-hmm. And she shoves you back and yells at you, get off me, Poi. I don't know what you think you're doing here. Llama's trying to make a better world. She's trying to fix everything that's ruined in this world. She's trying to give us a chance to make a world where all of these mistakes, where that monster doesn't exist. And she's pointing at Boomslang.
Oof.
Well, we don't have to worry about what's happened to our families, to our community, where 13th Street is safe, where we don't have to worry about being pulled over and whether or not we're going to live or die, when we don't have to worry about systems keeping everybody pushed down into the dirt. Don't you want a chance to have a normal life?
Go ahead and roll to provoke. First, tell us what you want Poi to do.
I want Poi to like come over to this side.
Okay.
What if we all just become villains?
To doubt his motives.
Sounds good.
So I rolled a 9, and provoking requires my superior, which is 2 right now.
Okay.
It's an 11. And not that it matters, but I have a +1 to any action that frustrates my rival, because when I dinged last session, I took the bull's heart.
Nice.
And I made Poi my rival, and Salameka my love.
I think it might actually matter, because do you also have full conditions marked?
I do have full conditions marked.
So that'll bring you down to a 9, and then +1 for that.
Yes.
We'll bring you to a 10.
No, that's right. I totally forgot about the penalties.
It's going to be... So we're going to have some fun. Things are going to... I love that things are already breaking bad. All right, so Poi, if you change teams, then you'll add a team to the pool. If you don't, you'll mark a condition.
Oh.
This is going to be a 2v1.
You've got Boomslang.
I got Boomslang. I got Metal Quaddle.
Oh, snap! That's right!
Yeah, it's a 3v3.
Yeah, so it's 2v3. We got Llama. Oh, I guess I just decided.
No.
Well, I guess no. I mean, yeah. That's the most dramatic thing. Like,
whatever you want to do. I trust you.
Yeah, Yeah, I think Poi, like, we get a flashback of, like, some, all like, Poi getting harassed and, like, seeing other, like, powered folks being harassed and things. Like, the way that the Phantasma, like, points it out, like, systematically, these people are not in a great place all over, especially without Protean City. And, like, that kind of clicks with something in Poi. It's like, Poi's gonna stand up and Poi's gonna take off his mask and show his face and be, like, looking deadly serious. Like, you better be right about this.
Oof.
If you're amazing.
Not, we're gonna just ellipses.
And I think that panel's like a really tight panel on the two of you, like faces like real close to each other, because we've got like the exposed face and the hooded mask and everything with the bright eyes. That's just a very visually interesting panel. Let's go ahead and hop over to Salameca.
Yes.
So you and Boomslang, and Metal Coatl are coming in like the friggin' X-Force. And are you going towards Phantasma as well, or are you gonna go towards Mikaela?
I'm gonna go towards Mikaela, I think.
Perfect.
So I think I jump down off of Boomslang's back, and I kind of put up a hand to him to, you know, try to stop him from just ripping the building apart and killing us all, right?
Yeah, and he's ready to. Like, his tail is, like, flicking around to the side. His entire metal back has, like, the haunches that stick up into, like, sharp edges. Yes. And he's just like...
Why did I design those? he's good at making a threat display. That's important sometimes. So I am going to... As I approach her, I reach into my... heroic lab coat, and I pull out a device because I'm using my always prepared.
Okay.
And this is, I believe, my last of my two gadgets.
Oh, no.
No.
So when I reach zero gadgets, I mark a condition. I'm going to mark afraid because I am. But I've got my last helpful gadget in my hand, and because all of my gadgets are animal themed, as I'm walking up on her and her universe rending supercomputer, I'm holding an electric eel robot. Nice. That is writhing and snapping and sparking in my hand, and I'm clearly afraid. My hand is shaking as I'm holding it out. We get a nice close-in panel view of that, and then it cuts back to my face. You can see that even though I'm afraid, I'm determined, and I say, what's her last name?
Llama.
Right.
L-A-M-A.
Yeah, I see. Miss Llama, you need to turn that machine off, or I'm going to. And I don't think either of us wants that to happen.
And she turns around. She does, like, the slow villain turnaround.
Yes.
That, like, gets her cloak, like, flicking to the side. And we get, like, Kirby crackle all around her as she faces you. She turns back towards you, and she's got her hands kind of, like, down by her sides in, like, almost like a gunslinger sort of stance.
Nice.
And she says, don't you understand? We have to do this. You put on the mask and go out there. You're brilliant. You made these things? You made these things? What's your life like? What's your lifestyle? Are you wealthy and happy? Can you provide for those you care about? You're brilliant. And in the next world, you could turn that brilliance into success and happiness.
It's not about me. It's about everyone. And I think you know that this is wrong because you're hiding it. Why did you build this underground? Why didn't you ask, why isn't Centurion here, or Striped Eagle, or Blox? Why isn't anyone who could tell you no here?
Go ahead and roll to pierce her mask.
Mm.
Oh, cool. I'm bad at that. Oh, no, I'm zero at that. I'm not
okay.
Terrible.
Okay, you're not terrible at that.
Oh, I got a 4.
She says, they're all tools of the establishment, and every single one of them would want to stop this because they can't see what the future might hold. I can. And I know a thing or two about tools. And she reaches back and, like, grabs something that kind of looks like almost like a remote control or a taser.
Mm-hmm.
And she just points it directly at Metal Coatl.
Oh.
and slams a button, and Metal Quaddle just like rears up and lets out just this piercing scream before turning its eyes on you.
Oh man, and I'm clearly like so pained. I whip around, my grip on my electric eel wavers for a second, and I think I drop it, actually. It's just bouncing around, sparking.
Perfect. Phantasma and Poi, after the two of you have kind of your heart-to-heart, you look up and you see that Boomslang has noticed that the two of you are talking and is starting to just prowl towards you.
What are you doing here? What are you planning?
So Phantasma is turned back a little temporarily to trying to channel energy into the portal, and turns to Boomslang. We're trying to make a better world, and you can either get out of the way or get put in the dirt. You decide, oversized tin can.
And his jaw just like opens up, and we just see just like the rows of teeth. And his voice comes through like the modulator, even though the mouth, the big lion mouth, is open. And he goes,
"Let's see you try that again."
And the teeth just start like rotating around the mouth like a buzzsaw. And Boomslang just is leaping through the air. Boy, you can see that Boomslang is like headed straight towards Phantasma. What do you do?
Yeah, I think Poi is just gonna, I think as we get that panel of maybe it looks like it's Boomslang is about to like sort of envelop or eat Phantasma, Poi just like comes and checks him from the side to knock him just barely out of the way. It might like still like kind of jostle Phantasma, but it definitely doesn't Phantasma does not like get in the jaws of death in that awesome moment. And Poi's just gonna face off and say it's a Phantasma, like, do whatever you need to do it quick. I got maybe five in me.
Incredible. And Boomslang just like turns to Poi and is like faced off against Poi and just says,
"You don't have a chance here. You weren't built for this. Stand down."
Does Boomslang have influence over you?
No, not over me.
Okay, I just want to check in on that. So he turns to Poi and says,
"Stand down. You're not built for this. I don't want to have to kill you. But if it's you and your life or the world, I will cut you down right here."
Well, odds are on me, and so far, I've been in the black, but if I gotta get in the red, let's go.
Hell nice. Yeah.
All right. So what are you gonna do? Are you throwing down with him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Poi's just gonna grab like the nearest piece of like equipment, like something heavy, big and metal and heavy, and just like go at him and try to swing, try to mostly like get him down and get him immobilized more than like incapacitated and then like knocked out or anything. He doesn't think he can do that.
Okay. Are you mostly trying to like slow him down and take his time, or are you trying to like beat him in this fight?
Slow him down and take his time. Whatever it takes to get Phantasma time is what I'm
okay. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Oh, that's real bad.
Oh, no.
It's a... Oh, my freak is zero. That's a three.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Talk shit, get hit.
Get around and find out.
Well, Earth, you had a good run.
Yep. Starting next week, Protean City Ultimate. Boy, we get a couple of panels of you like holding back Boomslang, and then like you move to like block him, and his mouth just clamps around the metal and just like just pulls the metal into his mouth, and he just grabs onto you with his tail and just hurls you through the air. Mm-hmm. And you go like flying across, we've got like a panel of like with you, your arms and legs like flailing behind you as you're going through all of the crackling pink and the ghostly energy, and you slam into the wall. Go ahead and take a powerful blow.
Okay.
I'm very sorry.
That's a 7.
7. Okay. So on a 7-9, you can lash out verbally and provoke a teammate to foolhardy action, or take advantage of your influence to inflict a condition. You can give ground and your opposition will get an opportunity, or you can struggle past the pain and mark 2 conditions.
I will mark 2 conditions.
Oh god. Boy, so strong and so brave. Phantasma, you're turning the universe inside out. It's very difficult. Like, what does it look like as you are channeling this energy that's like pulling the spirit world? Like, you're basically using the spirit world as a hook to like catch on to the universe and just pull it inside out. I imagine you're seeing what's going on. Like, what do you look like as you're looking around at this chaos unfolding?
I think the world, when we cut over to her perspective, I think she sees Poi getting slammed around,
yeah,
in like the reflection of her ghostly pupils in like a close-up shot as her eyes go wide and she starts to realize like what is actually happening here and the gravity of what this means,
yeah,
for the team. And there's like a whispered, like very small speech bubble that just says no. Then when we cut back, we see her standing and channeling her power and sort of like braced, almost like she's grabbing a rope, but being dragged towards something that is moving very quickly away from her. Is kind of the ghostly energy, like positioning the way that their physicality is.
Awesome.
And so it's like she's almost getting dragged into the portal, and everything around her is kind of grayed out, except for the swirling energy in the middle of the universe. And I think there might be a big panel where she's looking up at it for the first time in all of its awesomeness, mm-hmm. to use like the literal definition. Where it's like all of the different realities that are possible are starting, yeah, to appear. Where like Michaela's probably the mayor in one of these, or even like the president. There are like 13th Street is just idyllic, peaceful, calm. There's, you know, people with powers, doing civic duties and stuff like that. Marginalized communities are, you know, clearly celebrating. Like, it's a very utopic kind of thing. But also, I think she realizes how like plastic and unrealistic that is,
mm-hmm.
As well. There's probably like one panel of her kind of thinking about that.
Yeah.
So that's her positioning. And then I think maybe the slamming noises in the background, she's turning around and seeing Poi getting chucked around and Salomeka getting steadily rolled on by Michaela. And she pulled a device, right? She disabled Metal Coatl.
No, she activated Metal Coatl. She took over Metal Coatl.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So I think as she's being dragged,
but yeah, she has like a device in her hand. Yeah,
I think, sorry, while she's being dragged, she turns back to Michaela and sees the device in her hand and goes, "Hey, hold on. That wasn't part of the deal. We can do this without you having to hurt anyone.
They're not going to exist in 17 minutes.
No, we're making a new world. We're not destroying anything. We're creating something new. We're changing it. Just because everything's going to change and everything's going to go away, it doesn't mean you have to take out any, you don't have to kill anyone.
We're killing everyone. We're killing everyone and then giving them new lives, new births, new possibilities. Do you not understand what's happening here? This world is going to be gone. Every injustice, every sin, every villain, they're all going to be gone." She's trying to shift your labels again.
Yeah, shift me. What are we doing here?
She's trying to lower your savior and raise your danger.
Okay.
You got to stop saving people. You got to be ready to break a couple eggs.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that shift, but also
You can accept the shift and also reject what she's saying. Like, you can be like, yes, you do understand me fundamentally, but fuck you.
Yeah. It's
more, because, like, that is more or less a moment of, like, her seeing that you are capable of that,
mm-hmm.
but you saying, like, I'm capable of that, but it's not what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, then I'm going to accept that, dropping my savior and increasing my danger.
Nice.
So she's saying, like, everything's going to end. We have to make sacrifices, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where Phantasma, like, holds on for a second and snaps her hand away from the portal that she's been feeding energy into it.
Yeah.
And it turns into, like, an energy whip, like a green flame whip. And she loops it around, like, cracks it. And says, yeah, you're right. I can change everything. I can destroy the world. But that's not what we talked about. That's not what we agreed upon. We're going to make a better world by changing it, not by destroying it. You can't just erase everything and decide to make a new world. You have to build it up. You have to plant the seeds and make them grow. You can't just burn everything to the ground and decide that you're going to start over fresh. I can't believe I listened to you, Llama. I can't believe I let you get in my head and let you tell me to take the coward's way out. On 13th Street, we fight for what we have. And that's where she goes in to mix it up.
Amazing. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat.
So, this is bad for me for a lot of reasons.
Oh right. Every condition.
So, 5 plus my danger is 7.
Okay.
Minus 2 from afraid is 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Woof. So, you flick out with your, like, ghostly energy whip, and Metal Quaddle's tail just, like, flicks up into the way and just, like, gets flung and, like, is hit with the energy, and the energy, like, ripples through Metal Quaddle for a minute, and it gives, like, a robot, like, rebooting shutter. But Llama turns to you and says, go ahead. Kill me. It's done. You gave me all the energy I needed. It's not a matter of if. It's just when. And you can see that, like, although you're not powering it anymore, the pink crackles have started to, like, snap in the air all around you now, and there's, like, ghostly visages and, like, green hands emerging for a moment out of, like, a little rift in the world and bursting away. But now we've got the whole team together. So when you engage a threat as a team, let's get some team on the table. Who's the leader in this team?
That's a great question in this scenario. I would say probably Callista, because the only reason we're acting as a team is because you're coming back to our side.
That's true. It's my fault that we're in the situation, and she's saying, like, I'm not doing it this way.
So if Callista is not leading, then she's probably looking to the leader.
Yeah, no, I think that means that I am leading.
Perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
I think Phantasma is leading.
Perfect. I just wanted to check in. It sounded like you were hesitant on saying that you were the leader. All right. So we're going to add 2 to the pool. Do you have influence over every teammate?
I have influence over Salameka.
Okay. So theoretically, Poi could be like, yes, you have influence over me right now. And then you would get the plus, but you don't have to, certainly.
I think so, based on the interactions we've had so far.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, that is true, because I did kind of
influence you. This.
Yeah.
All right. Callista, what is your purpose in the fight?
To stop the machine.
Okay.
To stop the world from ending.
Okay. Do you all have the same purpose in the fight?
Yep, same.
What's going on over there, Kevin? Saw the shifty eyes.
This is maybe my favorite move in the game, because it is an entire table of people going like, yes, and then looking at the one person who hasn't answered yet.
You made a convincing argument. You can't trust the system. We do gotta burn it all down.
It's not the way to do it.
They won't know. They won't remember. This is the Star Trek teleporter problem.
Oh my god. It's the Prestige.
Yes.
The Prestige for this is definitely Poi coming in as a last minute villain. If you're not on the team yet, that's okay. Also, it might be we're not at that point. We're about to have Poi on the side of Llama. You do you. I trust you all.
I think Poi is against Llama. Poi was with you on sort of remaking the world, but like the machine seems like the way to remake the world.
But yeah, we can reprogram it. We can make it a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can do it without resorting to that.
Okay. So it sounds like you do want the machine to stop, or you're not sure?
I think poison a lot of doubt is probably the easiest way to put it, yeah.
Okay. So I think let's not give the plus for that.
Yeah.
If any team member mistrusts the leader or the team, we're going to remove a team. Does anyone mistrust the leader or the team?
I mean, I did 8 seconds ago.
Yeah, but now it's now.
But now it's now. So I'm going to say, I do trust you. You can see me looking over at you with like a very surprised, confused, but hopeful look.
I think there is trust between from Poi to Phantasma.
Cool.
Different goals.
Is your team ill-prepared or off-balance?
I feel ill-prepared.
Yeah.
I feel like we're pretty outgunned here.
We went in here pretty unprepared for all of this. And then we split up.
All right. Awesome. In that case, we normally in the game start with one team. We had Poi join Phantasma, which brought us up to two team. And this is going to add an additional two teams. So you have four team to play with, which is a good amount to have. That's not a bad place to be. You have so many conditions. But your team pool is pretty good. So let's just, what does that panel look like as you line up ready to fight?
Let's see.
Do you have a hero pose?
Metal Quaddle has just gotten unevilled by that fortunate phantasmal lash. So I think that I am sort of like, there's just a moment of me like cradling his big snake head. And then I sort of like swip around to hop onto it, and he glides me over to where the two of you are. And I think I would like try to put a hand on Phantasma's shoulder.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
I think she's gonna mirror that and have her hand on Salameka's shoulder as well, while kind of taking up a bit of a fighting pose with her hand, because the flame whip I think dissipates once it crackles. So she's standing there menacing at Llama with her hand in that classic spellcaster claw forward out pose, conjuring up more flame. The green flame has cleared off of her eyes at this point. Nice. But it's sort of like an aura around her to reflect the gravity of what's happening. And so there's like that cool mirror pose there, and poison the dirt.
Yeah, I think Poi is just like standing up, like rubble is sloughing off his shoulder. He's like dusting off one shoulder. And let me know if this like violates the gore veil, but like his face is torn to the side and he spits out some teeth.
Oh,
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Windshear's constantly spitting out teeth. Spitting out teeth is allowed.
I think he doesn't join in on like the hand shoulder thing, like to signify how his goal is kind of, while he's on their side, it's not like total unity there.
Yeah. Boomslang is also a little ways away from the three of you. Like turned and like hunched and kind of looking and watching this like tender moment. And he goes, "You three done?"
and I think I turn back to him and how do I play this? And I think I just give him a regretful smile, and I say, "Yeah, you wanna come save the world?
Let's do this." And he just like rears up and just has like all of the blades and everything going, and the four of you are just facing off against Miss Llama, who has in one hand her remote, and she's like pulled a basically like a like a long metal baton from her desk. It looks like a professor's like baton, that like not a baton obviously, but like a pointer. But this is heavier because you smack people with it. And she just immediately looks right at Phantasma and charges straight at her. What do y'all do?
I think I would like to just have Metal Quaddle like swerve in front and just use like the bulk of his body to protect Phantasma.
Cool. Go ahead and roll to defend.
All right, I've got a double checking my stats. Yes, a plus two in savior, and I am not bad at it because of my emotions. There we go. That's a 7, 8, 9.
All right, very nice. So on a 7 to 9, you expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. I would recommend against escalating the situation. It's pretty escalated.
Quite high. Yes, but, I will escalate.
But myself. I do have plans for what happens if you do. So you can expose yourself to danger, escalate the situation, and you'll add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
Gotcha. I think I will. Would it be useful for you for me to take influence over you and mess with your stats a little bit? That seems like it would be a cool moment. As Metal Quaddle intervenes and, you know, his coils are thrashing around and keeping her at bay, and I'm sort of riding up on his neck, I turn back to Phantasma, and I'm looking down at her with a fond but exasperated look, and I say, hey, you're gonna need to do some magic stuff here, because I don't know how to deal with any of this. Glad you're back on our side, though.
And would you like to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation?
I would like to expose myself to danger since I am looking directly away from the villain while I'm doing this, and I'm taking influence over you, so I am going to shift your freak up because of your spooky magic powers and your superior down because you got us into this.
Yep.
Awesome.
Fair and reasonable.
So Llama like gets blocked by the huge metal snake in front of her, and she just immediately like kip-ups off the back of it, and we get like a panel that has like the four quick shots to show like doing like a flipping thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets the metal rod up against Salameka's throat and kind of just pulls Salameka with her. Nice. And she's dragging towards one of these rifts that has started to form. That is like started to open up a little bit more. And you can see that there's like now like a variety of arms coming through that are like grasping. And she says, you know what? Maybe there isn't a place in the new world for you.
Wow.
Let's stick you with the rubbish. And she's about to like hurl you into the spirit world.
Nice. So I have an idea for how that looks on the page. So when I'm talking and I'm giving my little speech to Phantasma, that's these panels going along the bottom of the page. Mm-hmm. And then her flips are like the four squares up above that. Nice. And then the fifth panel of mine is just the baton coming up under my throat and I'm going, "Urk!"
All right.
Oh, Poi is going to kind of... Poi wants to get that device, that controller. Okay. Type thing that she has in the other hand besides the baton. I think what he's gonna do, he's gonna pick up some small, like, just some random object, like probably a stapler or something
nearby countertop. The red, like, there's like the red office space stapler.
The swing line?
Yeah, the swing line sitting there.
Boy picks that up and just hucks it, and like, as he hucks it, he's gonna try and dive and hoping that things work out in his favor, that it knocks it out of her hand and he can dive and catch it before it falls and breaks or something.
Very nice. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers. Unless you'd like to do it in such a way that you're, like, causing her harm as well to directly engage.
Yeah.
Sweep the leg.
I think Poi's power inadvertently working in his favor. He's going to slide, hoping to pick it up, but, like, luckily he's going to run into her legs and knock her legs out from under her.
Nice. Sounds very lucky. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat.
And I do have the power Venting Frustration. When you directly engage when you are angry, you can roll plus the label your mentor denies and clear your angry.
Oh, cool. Ooh. What does your mentor deny?
I think it was the deny savior, because we talked about him like sort of not doing as much of the big hero work. Like, he went out and did like the galaxy stuff once, but like he saw that like nobody really took care of 13th Street while he was gone. Cool. So now he's sticking down and sticking to like the street level stuff.
I think you're right. And if we aren't right, then it was a misprint in the original issue. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's a 10.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Nice. All right. So on a hit, you'll trade blows. On a 10 plus, you'd pick 2. You resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Definitely going to take something from them. I'm going to take that controller.
Perfect.
And then I am going to... Let's create an opportunity for my allies.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So she'll get a chance to strike out at you.
Yes.
Okay. So you fling the stapler and like basically slide tackle towards it, and the ground is like a little tilted because it's in like this like kind of like starting to like cone. It's like coned up a tiny bit in order to like manage the energies, make sure things don't go hitting the walls. And so you come in at an angle that you weren't quite expecting, and you just slam into her ankle, and she goes down hard, hits the ground right next to you, let's see, Salameka, do you fall down to the ground as well, or do you want to stay standing for this?
Let's say that I go down to the ground as well.
Cool. So she drags Salameka to the ground, and so the three of you are just on the ground, and she just turns to Poi and just makes like a wide swing, and like it's not pretty, it's not terribly skillful, but it busts your lip.
Yeah.
It doesn't even really like it doesn't. You're a hero. You've taken some hits. It's mostly just like the annoying thing that it split your lip, and you're going to be getting questions about that later.
Yeah.
It's like it's an injury you cannot possibly hide.
It smarts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, why'd you do that? But yeah, you like as you come up from that like light, you've got the remote in your hand. Mm-hmm. And we still have an opportunity for her allies. What allies? Who's going to work on this? Who's going to move now?
I've fallen, and I think I like crack my chin on the ground as I just bonelessly fall, completely not expecting anything that was going on. And then as my vision sort of clears, I see on the ground in front of me my electric eel that has just been flouncing and bouncing around the ground
nice.
Is now near to me. And I have a moment of realization when I go, oh, she wouldn't have stopped me from using this thing if it wasn't going to work.
Nice.
So I just like am scrabbling my way out of this jumble of limbs, reaching forward for the eel to try and like huck it at her computer.
Nice move.
Yes, it's unleash your powers with a gadget.
All right, let's go ahead and see that unleash your powers.
And
we definitely get a panel that shows like you reaching and grabbing it, and her reaching and like grabbing onto your arm.
Nice. And I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness. That's a 10 plus 0 is 10, baby.
There's nothing I love more than a flat roll that hits 10.
Mm.
All right, fantastic. Give us, so this is going to shut down the computer. I don't know if it is going to fully solve that there is an enormous...
Right, because it's already going.
It's going, but like you've stopped her plot, and now there's a major hole in the universe. Do you want to give us, like, what does it look like on the panel as you throw it? Needless to say, we're going to have her voice panel coming in, going like, no!
Yeah. Should I have a cool line for this? Jeez. I didn't think I was going to succeed at this.
I think while the fight has been going on in the background, Phantasma has been like lifting off the ground and
nice.
Charging up, like becoming emboldened by the fact that her friends are getting the crap beaten out of her. And I think somewhere in there, she yells like, Salamek, I need you to hack this thing. I have no idea how I can stop the machine. I can deal with the portal, but those computers, that's all you.
Nice. I grab onto the eel and I look as I'm like pulling just my elbow back, just like skitter this thing across the floor. Right. Cause she's got a hold of my arm. Mm-hmm. I turn back. And I have a triumphant smile on my face. And I say, I hope you're ready for a shock. And I flick it and it goes sliding over to the computer and zaps it.
Awesome. And we just get like the big display with all the computers. Do you have like a logo symbol?
That's a great question. I should.
If you just want to say the Salameka symbol. That is okay, but if you've got something in mind,
yeah, I think
it's... I eventually want to get a logo shirt for every hero. We're working out the logistics on that.
Yeah, I think my logo is a metal quaddle that is curled into a little ball with his head biting his tail.
Awesome. So we get like a panel that just shows the eel like at the foot of the big computer terminal, and just. Arcing electricity off of the eel, and like EMP waves coming through, and the Salameka symbol on each of the screens, and then just and everything is just darkness except for the glowing light coming from Phantasma. I think at this point, Miss Llama has like a grip on your arm, and she just lets it go and rolls onto her back and is just like breathing heavily. And she just says, now, it won't be the world I wanted, but it's still gonna happen. I hope you're all very proud of yourselves. And we still have just like this like pulsing place where the universe is ready to turn itself out through the spirit world.
Nice.
I've been charging up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the panel is Phantasma looking at the portal and seeing her friends and having flashbacks to like the neighborhood and the choices that led her up here, and Llama like trying to build her up and sway her to her side, and her eyes are closed and those images are just swirling around her head. And she reopens them and her eyes flare the green flame one more time. And she's like, no, that's not who I am. And that's how she's charging up.
Nice. Yeah. Go ahead and roll plus conditions marked.
Yeah. So I've got all of the conditions.
So this is either going to be like a 10 plus or like you die. And then the world ends.
Well, thank God. It was a 7 plus 5.
Oh my God. That was like really close. And don't worry, fair listeners who love House of Regulus. This also would have taken out House of Regulus.
Oh my God. So I've got 3 burn.
Awesome.
I want to stop this portal.
Yeah.
I want to spend a burn.
Okay.
Nope. I'm not going to do that because I have to mark a condition to open up my... I was going to use elemental awareness.
Oh, yeah, because that would get you answers, but...
Then I think I just have to old school assess the situation. Now that I'm covered in this glowing flame,
yeah,
looking down at my friends, I think Phantasma calls on Nikali, her spirit guardian, to be like... Nikali, I've made so many mistakes. I've let my friends down, let my family down, I let my ancestors down. I need your help. I need you to help me make it right. How do I stop this? How do I stop the world from ending?
Go ahead and roll to assess the situation. I'm so tense.
It's a 8 minus 2 from guilty.
What's your superior?
It went down to 1. So that's a 7. Just over the line.
All right, so you can ask, what here's the biggest threat? What here is in the greatest danger? Who here is most vulnerable to me? How could we best end this quickly? Or what here can I use to stop the end of the world? What here can I use to blank?
Like, what here can I use to stop the end of the world? And how could we best end this quickly are the same question.
How could we best end this quickly might be like, wait 2 minutes.
Pretty quick.
What here could I use to seal the portal?
Woof. Okay.
Fly into it.
You know, you know, I always am tempted to do that. And if you're like, that is what I want to have, then, you know, we can do that. You can go into the spirit realm. Or I can tell you a different possibility. What you need to do is you need to grab onto the potential souls of the people here, because you're all in this maelstrom, and pull those potential souls to this moment, which will stop things from flipping inside out, but will show all five of you what you could have been and how you will die.
Yeah, all right. That's more interesting than just I fly into the portal and reverse the polarity.
If you like that, if y'all like that, and if that's too dark, you can X-card me. Let me know.
Okay, beautiful.
All right, what does it look like when you do that?
So I think Nikali just gently steps out from like the maelstrom,
yeah,
and puts a paw on her shoulder and just like there's a panel of them side by side, just staring at the portal.
Yeah.
And Nikali in her mind is explaining like, you must take the potential that is around you. You must call it into this place. You will see what would transpire, the world's countless possibilities, and you may judge them as you see fit, but this is the world as it is, and you must accept that. And she channels the energy that is crackling in her, and I think floats down to the team while Michaela's on the ground, just like kind of kicks her away a little bit, but reaches down, like kneels down while glowing, and says, I can't do this without two of you. Listen, I've got an idea. You're probably not going to like it, but it's the only way we can stop this. I need your help. And she reaches out.
And I let you pull me up off the ground as I say, statistically speaking, it's likely to be better than the alternative.
You're going to find out a lot about that alternative. And she grabs your hand and she pulls Poi up and she grabs Poi's hand. And there's this panel of the three of us backlit by the flame as she channels her ghost energy into the two of you. And it arcs from us into Boomslang, and it arcs into Michaela. And now that we're all like kind of tethered together, she throws her head back, and we get that Jean Grey kind of power blast as the souls just cascade into reality.
Amazing. And so each of you is going to get a panel that shows you face to face with the you that would have been in Miss Llama's world. And each of you is going to see your death in this world. So each of you is going to tell one of your other players what they would have been, and the other player how they're going to die.
Mm.
I got one for Poi.
What do you have for Poi?
I have a what you could have been if That sounds good. It's pretty cute, I think.
Take as much time as you need. If you need to, like, take a minute to think.
So my alternate future or alternate self for Poi is, and of course, tell me, you know, if this jives with what you want. But my vision is that you are, there's this scene of you being like laughing and happy. There's a beautiful blue sky and you're with, Doc Cudgel, your mentor. But you're not like in hero gear or anything. The two of you are like playing mini golf and you've got his big tech hammer and like you hit the ball and it bounces off like a windmill and it goes over and flies over a thing and then it lands in the hole in one. And he just turns and gives you like this genuine, just fatherly embrace. You know, both of you just look so happy and comfortable with each other and you've both got ice cream and then like his ice cream like smooshes into yours when you hug and they both fall on the ground and you just turn to each other and laugh.
And that's the pink future that we could have seen. What's the green death we're going to get in this world?
So the death is Poi in a, we're in what looks like a giant casino dungeon where there are roulette wheels spinning all over everything. There's slot machines that are just flashing lights. There's a giant pair of dice that's collapsing around in the background. Poi is standing defiantly over Doc Cudgel's corpse, who is just like bleeding out on the ground in front of him. And it's not because Poi killed him. It's because there is another villain looming over, who is just smarmy, pomade hair, white seersucker suit, a big lapel flower, black shirt underneath, immaculate chiseled jawline. His name is Pit Boss, and he is holding up five aces in one hand, and a gun that is smoking in the other, just this beautiful ivory pearl handled golden revolver, and he's pointing it directly at Poi, and he says, "Sorry, kid, your days of cheating fate are over, because I'll tell you what, that's my game. And when you play against the house, well, the house always wins, baby." And then bang.
Oh, that's so good.
Can he spin the revolver like Russian roulette? Yeah.
Oh my god. So good news for everybody. We're gonna see Pit Boss soon. Bad news for Poi.
Yeah.
All right, who's up next? Are we going to learn about Salameka or about Callista?
You know what it is? I think I have a idyllic life for Sabria. We get a stage of Dr. Sybil Morris on a podium, sort of giving this big speech, talking about how Sabria, her, as she is allowed to say, has been working together and they've been making great advances in some, in prosthetic technologies and helping some of those in the city and helping with, building some automated workforce to allow to relieve some of the needs of the city and open up some opportunities for folks. And then we see Sabria walk up on stage and is awarded given an award for their work and their research and everything. And we see like sort of off stage, like off to the side in the dark, out of the spotlight, we see Metal Quaddle sort of just hanging out, like looking as proud as Metaquantum can look as their progenitor is being awarded for their hard work, along with a couple other sort of mechs, I think, that they've made along the way since.
And yay. The pink crackle, it fades into pink crackles, and then the green mist forms.
Oh, Boomslang has been given a human body again, is no longer in the death robot, but now has snake powers to the nth degree. Boomslang is a technopath snake monster, like reptile, right? Like Killer Croc. but this giant snake-like humanoid with cybernetic implants and a staff. It's got to be a staff, right?
Yeah,
a with staff. A caduceus on it, the snakes
nice.
Intertwined. And the Boomslang is advancing on Salameca, and the snakes, one of the snakes on the staff, unfurls to reveal itself to be Metal Coatl.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And Boomslang advances on you. Let's say you're in a lab. You're probably in a lab. As just chemical vats and stuff are bubbling behind you and lightning is crackling. It's very much like this whole scenario, but without the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And Boomslang and Metal Coatl, who has the evil robot eyes, obviously, the colors changed.
Mm-hmm.
My death is on your hands, Salameca. I guess it's only fitting that I take your life.
Yes.
You made me this monster. And then the two of them just collapse on you.
Nice.
Incredible. All right. We need a alternate future of Callista, which doesn't need to be idyllic. It is just an alternate future. And we need a death that, again, does not need to be violent necessarily. It just needs to be a death that's for this world.
I got a death.
Okay.
Let's get our idyllic for our not our. Yeah. Let's get our alternate future
alternate
first.
Futures, yeah.
Which can all be idyllic. That's totally fine. Also,
mm-hmm. I think the alternate future is like probably far or alternate timeline is like probably far in its future. We see that it's not too different from our own, but like they've made progress, and we see that there's a lot more power people and marginalized people in power, but like these people are sort of gathered at another ceremony, it happens, to unveil a statue of Phantasma and Nicali, sort of lauding them as heroes and lauding them as public servants more so, and having sort of served in more than just a hero's capacity. And they are alongside with other great heroes that we know, like Centurion, like Striped Eagle, like a couple of the Striped Eagles and things like that. And we see that there's people of color, there's people of different sort of varieties of abled body, and they're all in sort of, nobody seems to be excluded in any way in this scene. And we see some powered folks serving as peace officers at the event as well. So they're not, so powered people aren't just vigilante, they're not just heroes, they're also part of the system and helping to having made it better, I think, is what we see.
And it fades into pink crackles, and then green mist forms.
So we see this dark purple sand with a set of human footprints and a set of jaguar footprints. So we see these two sets of footprints in this dark purple sand, and then the next panel is a little silhouette of Nicali and Phantasma next to each other, just walking, and there are these tiny specks on this huge, barren, alien landscape with like a big ringed planet taking up a bunch of the shot. And then we see them next to each other, and there's just a tiny little green glow around the two of you, like a little bubble. And we can see that as we come in on Phantasma, her hand is like wrinkled with age. And her skin is loose, and she's holding her hand up just like a little bit over her head. And we can see that she's creating this little bubble around the two of them. And we see Nicali, her muzzle is like grayed, and her eyes are a little bit dim and roomy. And then you're looking down at her as the two of you are just walking in this complete solitude on this barren world. And you kind of smile down at her and like pet her head, and she sort of leans into you. And we see that the bubble has just encroached just a little bit closer and a little bit closer as these panels are going on. And then the last one, you kneel down and put your arms around her neck, and she wraps her wings around your shoulders. And then we cut back to the same wide angle shot as before with the planet in the background, and the bubble just winks out.
Damn.
Oh, shit. I'm teared up.
Damn.
Spicy.
You're making me do this to you. Why are you making me do this to you?
The Aragon dream me.
And we see our three heroes and what they could have been and what they're going to be. And when we come back, they're returning to consciousness and the roof is still lifted up, but it's morning and there's a bunch of curious faces looking down, peering into this lab of the 13th Street populace, looking down and seeing what in God's name happened. Boomslang is gone, as is Miss Llama. There's a note carved into one of the metal walls using Boomslang's tail that says, "I have her. She will live. Don't follow me."
So maybe we're in the... We look at the scratches and we kind of get in our huddle as everyone's kind of peering down. And I think Phantasma, like while she's huddled up with everyone, just looks at the two of you like, "I'm sorry. She got under my skin. I was so tired of fighting for a better world. I thought she might be able to make it happen. She had something and it scared me. And her words, they got to me. I wanted the easy way out. And I betrayed your trust. And boy, I got you into something really bad. You were right to doubt me."
"They wouldn't have known. World would have been better."
"Well, I guess we'll never know now. Maybe it wouldn't have even worked."
"No, we're stuck with this one."
"Hey, we're not stuck with anything. This world's better with the two of you in it."
"Oh, you too. And if we can't get the best world, we'll just have to do what we can to make this one better, right? That's what heroes do."
"Yeah, but we can do something about it without kicking down everything that's been built up to this point."
"The world's got a lot of terrible stuff. It's got some nice things too. The harder we work, the more we can make it better."
We get the three of you. I'm tempted to... I feel like you have hit comfort or support, but I think we're at the end of the comic now, so I don't want to get bogged up in mechanics. The three of you are down in this lab that's like ruined. You wrecked this place. Just to be clear, like it is not looking like nicely pristine anymore. And we get like a shot looking up into the sun and the enormous shape of Doc Cudgel. And he has the hammer like over his shoulder. And his voice rings out and he goes, "Wardens, I think we got some more trouble." And he flicks a coin and it flies through the air, like spinning over and over and over, and lands on the ground between the three of you. It's a little poker chip with a golden skull emblazed on it.
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city. We'll publish your letters with every issue and a response from our editors. Below is an editor's note that reads, "Sorry, readers. There were some delays with the printer and shipments of this issue of 13th Street Wardens, and it seems like we weren't able to pair up a letter with this issue. We'll answer two next week, try to make up for how late this one was."
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy.
This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at @BLeonGambetta. Poi is played by Kevin Tien Vulong Nguyen, who can be found on Twitter at @Nit_Knack, where Nit is spelled with a K and Knack is not, or at wincondition.itch.io, spelled like his name. Salomeka is played by Alex Guerrero, who can be found designing games at fractaldragon.itch.io, or on Twitter at @AFractalDragon, and podcasting at @Unplaytested. Metal Coatl is played by himself. Phantasma is played by Simon Moody, who can be found on Twitter at @LuchaLibris, He publishes games at colorspraygames.itch.io and is a voice actor for the Penumbra podcast, which can be found on Twitter at @thepenumbrapod or on the web at thepenumbrapodcast.com.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.